they're beginning a new sugya. And the first Ramakoma, the Gemara starts off with a very, very strange, almost like a dramatic presentation, and eventually get to the Lamdas of Asa. Yep, Amr of Chizda. Yechilno nefsalino lukula gita diyalma. I could disqualify all gita in the world, says Rav Chizda. Now, obviously that wasn't his goal. That wasn't what he was trying to accomplish, to disqualify all gita in the world. But he's presenting as a Lamdas of question that there are certain practices that we have in Gittin that have to be understood, because at first glance, they seem to be problematic. And if one doesn't come up with a good halachic creative solution to these problems, we're going to have a very, very serious trouble. So Yechilu absolutely, and in theory, we can possibly get into the world. So Amalei Rava, the Rava was Rav Chisda's son-in-law. So he asked him, my time of world, what's the problem? What problems do we have? What obstacles do we have to overcome in order to quote-unquote be machshu all the Gittin? So Ilei Mishu Mechziv Echosav. Maybe what you are referring to is as follows. The Torah says for Chosav, which has the connotation that he should be the one who's doing the writing. Whereas all Gittin, she is the one who's doing the writing. Now, that's not exactly true. She's obviously not the one who's taking the pen and holding it to the paper. What Rav Chisda and Rava are referring to is as follows. The Mishnah, the end of a Mastra, that discusses who pays the fee for the sofer. So someone's got to pay the sofer. Who pays the sofer? So the Mishnah says that the woman pays the sofer, not the man. So the Gemara explains that, you know, the reason why Chazal set it up in such a way that the woman pays the sofer to be another incentive to the man to get moving. The man shouldn't say, I'd love to write it yet, but I can't afford it. He's going to use that as another excuse to try to finagle, to try to delay. So we say to him, listen, we turn to the woman and say, listen, I know it's going to cost you a little bit of money, but it's not so expensive to hire a sofer, but it's in the women's best interest that you should be the one to pay the bill, not that you should have somebody else to hide behind when he tries to dilly-dally and giving a get. So that's what Chazal answered. The woman pays for the get, pays for the sofer. So the woman says, wait a second, the woman's paying for the sofer. So I think the phrase goes something like, at the mayor today or something along that line. But the person who's paying the bucks, he's the one who's in charge. He's the one who's running the show. He's the one who's calling the shots. So if the woman is the one who's signing the check to pay the sofer, she is, for all practical purposes, quote unquote, writing, i.e. authorizing the writing of that get. So that poses a problem. How could it be that she's paying for the get if Lamaisa, the Torah says, because of the yes to pay for the get? So says the Gemara, nah, that's not really a problem. Says the Gemara that the fact that, technically speaking, she's taking the $100 out of her pocket and handing it to the sofer, that doesn't really mean she's writing the get. The reality is that he's writing the get. He's paying for the get. All it means is, a little, a swift hand, what we said is as follows. You see that $100 bill that's in her hand? That doesn't really belong to her. That money really belongs to the husband. We're going to give that money symbolically, technically, to the husband. And now, even though it's coming out of her bank account, not really, it's really coming out of his bank account. So she really gave the money to the husband. The husband really gave the money to the sofer. And Shaul Maestral, the get is good to go. B'chos of love. How do we do that little bit of a trick under the table? So Rashi explains, the zuz, the little small amount of money that she pays the sofer, medida, havi kamandi over you. It's as if he did it. Why? The famous magic words. The hefke bezin hoya hefke. I think we bumped into that principle once or twice this year. There's a principle called hefke bezin hefke. It basically means, the Gemara tells us about Sechaz Yivamos, that bezin's hands are tied when they try to go up against it in the Torah. The Torah says you're not allowed to eat the chazan. The Torah says you're not allowed to eat the chal Shabbos. So bezin can come up from the Lamar and say, no, it's okay. We think that's everyone's best interest to be the chal Shabbos. They don't have the authority to do that. What they can do is, there's an absolute emergency situation that on this very, very limited scope, they say that we think that it's a good idea to B'chal Shabbos, that they're allowed to do what the Gemara says. It's the Megda Milsa, it's a Rosh Shah. For example, the Gemara says, Yevamos, that you're not allowed to offer kabanas outside of the base. I mean, that's an Issacharis. And the days of Eliyahu HaNavi, that's what they did. Eliyahu HaNavi told everybody, okay, we're going to make a Mizbeach in Haifa, and Har Carmel, we're going to offer kabanas, and we're going to have a contest with us and we have Baal, the Ovi Benazara. So Gemara says, Yevamos, what Eliyahu HaNavi did was awesome in the Torah. You're not allowed to bring a korban to Hashem outside the Beis HaMikdash. There was a Beis HaMikdash standing then. So the Gemara says that was very unique. That was a Rosh Hashanah. That was an absolute mercy. It's not that Eliyahu Navi said, you're allowed to offer Kavanos outside. The basic. He said, no, we're not allowed to do it. I have a special Nebuah, a special Rosh Hashanah that you're allowed to do it. The Gemara says, Yavamas, that Koach exists for Beis Din as well. That there's an absolute emergency situation that Beis Din decides that this particular Shabbos, you have to do Chol Shabbos because this is for the betterment of Klal Yisrael. So then they have the Koach to do so. But for them to institute a rule for generations, that now it's okay to be Mechal Shabbos, that they have no koach to do. The Gemara says that in the realm of Didi Mamanus, they have even more authority than the realm of Issa Heter. In the realm of Didi Mamanus, the Beis Din does have the koach to be Mafkir Baman. They can make a Takanas HaChamim that will change the rules of Didi Mamanus forever. Like one of the most famous examples of the Gemara getting about Prusbel, we're talking a little bit about that in the Tuesday night shum in Sanhedrin, that Chazal tampered with the Didim Deraisa in the realm of Didim Amos. That's okay. The Gemara says they're allowed to do that. That's called Hefka Bezin Hefka. The Gemara calls Pesukim sources for this Dim in HaTorah called Hefka Bezin Hefka. So here Rashi puts in that phrase Hefka Bezin Hefka into Asugya, and that's what's going on here as well. That in the perfect world, so to speak, with Deraisa, the husband should be paying for the get. That would be the real, true fulfillment of a chasav law. But for whatever reason, Chazal thought that wasn't a good idea. Because if you set up the system that the husband generally pays for the get, so you can have these husbands who say, I don't have enough money, I can't do it, I'll come back next month. It's not a good idea for the betterment of society. And therefore, Mishum Takanas Agunos, Chazal changed the din and said that let the woman pay the money. But you can't just have the woman pay the money. That's a violation of a chasav. So you have to invoke Hefkebe. The money went from the wife to the husband to the sofa, and everything is going to work based on the principle of Hefke Bezinet. So before we get to the solution of the problem, let's get back to the problem for a second. What exactly was bothering the Gemara? What did the Gemara think was problematic? Let's go back to the Gemara for a second and just read that one line again. Amalei Rava, first line. My time. Ilema Mishum Dechsev Achosav. After all, I think it was just too close. Even though it says v'chosav, we have a problem. So it's that magic word, v'chosav, that posed the problem, that forced us the solution. We're not questioning the creativity of the solution. Hefkebezinef is a great solution, but let's figure out what the problem was before. If there's no problem, you don't need a solution. So the Gemara thought the problem was the word, the magic word, v'chosav. Now, we know a little bit about what that word v'chosav means, or perhaps what it doesn't mean. Let's take a look at the Tosas in the second of the Mamre Kavos, one of the most famous Tosim throughout Gittin, the bold print of the second of the Mamre Kavos, V'yesh lomar, d'lo ba'inan shlichos b'ksiva. When the Sofer writes again, says Tosas, the Sofer is not the shliach of the husband. That is not what's going on. Now we have Mishnayos that talk about Sofer writing Gittin. Nobody's suggesting that the husband writes it himself. So everybody knows that a Sofer does it. Says the Tosfos that is not based on shlichus. You know why it's not based on shlichus? The v'chosav lav abalkoi el sofer, because the word v'chosav does not mean, should not be translated to mean the husband should write. If you think that v'chosav means the husband should write, then how do you explain away the phenomena that the Mishnah describes that the sofer writes? You have to fall back on shlichus. But if you redefine the word v'chosav as meaning he general should write, a person, the writer should write, the sofer should write, so then there's no need to fall back on shlichus. So Tosfos is adamant that the chosav does not mean the husband. It means the theoretical husband. What forced Tosfos' hands? So we spoke about this several times, because the Gemara in the Sugya of Chavez talks about the possibility of a child writing again. The Gemara even talks about the possibility of a non-Jew writing again. The Gemara discusses the pros and cons of those two cases, because maybe the child can't write the Shema, maybe the non-Jew can't write the Shema, maybe we can't instruct them to write the Shema. There was a whole pilpul about the yes and no about those two individuals writing again. So on the spot, Tosfos says, forget the problem of the Shema. How in the world can either a katan or a non-Jew be a shliach? Those are the ABCs, the shlichos. Tosfos says, you're working with a mistaken assumption. There is no requirement of shlichos in Ksivas again. Not everyone agrees with Tosfos' answer. Some people have different answers to that question. But the Balei Tosfos, at least at Nachav Beis, or of the opinion that the chosav does not refer to the husband altogether. So then Tosfos continues, Vahadi Amrina, the second line of the bold print. It says later on, Tzarech Shiyomu the sofer Ksov Eidim Chasomu. Ivan Demisha says explicitly that a sofer cannot write on his own. He requires what's called Tzivui Habal. So if Tosfos is right, that there is no din of shlichos Raksiva said, yeah, why in the world do you need Tzivi HaBaal for? So Tal says, nah, that's a different story. La Mishum Shlichus, El Mishum Dechshlo Tzivi HaBaal, L'choshev L'shma. Because if the Baal didn't appoint the Sofer, when the Sofer writes the get, he's not really writing it L'shma. Why not? So that was one of those deep, dark secrets we pointed out a few times. We're not exactly sure what that means. But Tosas and Rash, but all of Yishayahu have that Lashon that somehow without the Tzivi HaBaal, that's a deficiency of Lishma. It's not a deficiency in Shlichus. So now let's skip down to the Tosas a little bit towards the, in those bold lines, the third from the bottom of the bold lines. First word line is Tzarech. So now Tosas says, wait a second. If we just got finished saying, we just got finished downplaying the word Bechasa, there is no Din of Ksivis HaBaal. There never was a Din of Ksivis HaBaal. So what in the world is the Gemara talking about in Asuya? Hadam Liel Yachnunu L'mifso L'kula Gita. Remember, Rav Chisda thought he could disqualify or get in. My time, he lemme shum dirsiv v'chosav, yikukos v'lei. So Rav Chisda said, the problem is, gevalt, the magic word v'chosav. The husband has to write, nobody else, not the wife. How could the wife be paying for the sofer? Okay, we have a solution. We got it. But forget the solution. What was it? Why was there a problem altogether? So he asked Tosfos, if we're right, that v'chosav doesn't even need the husband, so what was Rav Chisda chepping us about to say? What was the problem in the first place?
The general rule, it says the pasuk of the pashas, the pasuk is that it's the husband. So anywhere in the Torah of Al-Ped, it says it's not the husband, the Tosus come along and say that.
Yeah, Tosus says that. No, it doesn't necessarily mean the chosav was safe for Krishus. Vinosim the other, I mean the Vinosim the other sounds like it means the husband. So why would mean, if I was just translating like the most simplest literal translation, I probably would have said it means Bechasa, it means the husband. I probably would have said that. Tosfos is stuck because Tosfos says we have Mishnais. We talk about the sofa writing, and it doesn't seem to fit the regular criteria, the regular rules.
Even though there's no mission, there's
no, nobody says it. No one that we know said the way, but Tosfos is saying that Chazal must have understood it this way. Tosfos is going backwards. So look at the facts. The facts are we have Tosfos from Mishnais. We have Mishnais. Doesn't seem to be a connection between the two. The only way to explain it would have been Shlichus, but the rules of Shlichus break down, and that's again in Chabez.
Let's say the husband wants to
play. The husband wants to, he can. Well,
according to the meeting,
there's no idea. Well, I mean, in theory, if the husband wants to be a nice guy, if the husband wants to donate to the cause and say he wants to play, that's fine. But when the couple comes to Beis Din and we're trying to figure out who's going to pick up the tab, so the Beis Din will say to the woman, you pick up the, you pay for it. And if the woman starts to go, what do you mean, should I pay for it? So we explain, you're right, that it's not right. Really, truly, he should pay for it. It's his get, he should pay for it. But we as the Beis Din feel that for the better interest of all the women, it's just a bad idea to have it that the husband's got another thing to kvetch about. So we're trying to, you know, the idea behind, we understand the takana was to try to move the process along as quickly as possible. As we know, very often in life, money tends to, when you have to pay for something, it tends to slow things down. So that was the rationale Baruch Chazal did. So comes Tosfos and says, but I don't understand what the problem was. What was the chapter? What was his concern? So if it's not a problem of the chosav, because the chosav doesn't even mean the husband, so comes Tosfos and continues. So Ilam Shem V'Hadim Kasulay V'Hasam Avinasan Samech Divainan Sheyichta V'Tziva V'Yitein V'Hacha Filu Nichta V'Tziva Layav V'Midishelo. Says Tosfos, it wasn't even a problem of chosav in the first place, but the real problem was a problem of Avinasan. Everybody agrees he has to give the get. Imagine the chosav Avinasan doesn't mean him. So a stranger gives the get. Of course, he has to give the get. So if he's going to give a get that he didn't pay for, that's a chisar, and that's a deficiency in the nesinas again. Not a deficiency in the ksivas again. The ksivas again, I couldn't kill us when writes again. Sorry if I can write again. The venosan is the problem. So we'd have to go back to the Gemara for the third time, back to the first in Mar Makamos. When Rava asked Rav Chisda, only Rav my time up, ilay mishum dechsiv v'chosav, what did Rava really mean to say? There should be like another word there. V'chosav v'chulei. It means he didn't really mean the word v'chosav, the magic word v'chosav. He meant v'chosav lo sefer krisus v'nosan gum. He meant the phrase of v'chosav slash v'nosan, namely that the Baal is the player here. That's where the chisor lies. So this is a big reading into the Gemara. Gemara doesn't say that, but Tosfos says it's got to mean that v'chosav v'chulei. V'chosav means i.e. it's a chisor in v'nosan.
How did Gemara say v'chosav?
Right. So it means that because she's writing and he's giving the get that she wrote, therefore it's not right. All the chulim. So it's needless to say that the simple pshat is not like Tosfos, and not only is the simple pshat like Tosfos, there are rishonim who don't learn the Gemara like Tosfos. There are rishonim who learn the Gemara that it means believe it or not, exactly what it says. When the Gemara says v'chasav, there's no v'chule. When it says e'kukosle, that's what it means. There's no v'chule v'nosle. It means the problem is in v'chasav. I doesn't v'chasav mean k'saf ha-sofer. So the answer is no, it doesn't. And v'chasav means k'saf ha-bal. I, and how in the world do we have v'shtayis that say that a sofer could write? So the answer is, well, that's based on shlichos. I, gavalt, we have Gemaras that seem to ignore shlichos. So you got a little chavez, I come back in a couple of weeks, we get to the chavez. So there are other pshatim in the Rishon, so other places, other attempts to try to explain away that Gemara. It's that Gemara in the chavez that talked about the possibility of a katan writing, talked about the possibility of a goy writing, only addressed the issue of lishma, completely avoided any mention of shlichos. That got Tosfos to this strange position, which again we said, it's difficult to understand because the psukim don't sound that way, the Gemara doesn't sound that way, and our sugya. But we understand where Tosfos is coming from. They had these glaring, glaring questions. How could the Gemara discuss a goy, a katan? These are people who cannot be shlichim under normal circumstances. So there is another pshat in the Gemara, but again, Tosfos is sticking to their guns. But that Gemara is a mechule kind of a question. At the end of the day, it doesn't make much of a difference for us because Lamai said there was a problem. Whether Rav Chisda was focusing on the ksiva problem or the sinus problem, there was a problem. And the solution to the problem was given. And Rashi plugged that solution into Hefker, Beis, and Hefker. So it is Hefker, Beis, and Hefker is going to solve the problem. It's going to save the day. At the end of the day, no matter how you slice it, Hefker, Beis, and Hefker is going to do the trick. Now, we're working with the assumption that Hefker, Beis, and Hefker is a dim in HaTorah. That is the correct assumption. Although the Gemara in Gittin derives from Pesukim, which happened to be in Chumash, have to be Pesukim in Nevi'im and Ketuvim. But we're going to work with the assumption that this was Halacha Moshe Masinai, this principle of Hefker, Beis, and Hefker. We use it very often. There are certain limitations to Hefker, Beis, and Hefker, but by and large, we are pretty comfortable with Hefker, Beis, and Hefker, and we use it to some extent, like Abi Dinim Deraisa, which is really, in effect, what we're using it in terms of here as well. So there are really two different parts now of our sugya. There's the first direction of our sugya goes down the route of Hefker, Beis, and Hefker to try to almost like fine-tune that. So we're really not going to go down that part of the sugya right now. We're going to go back. We're going to skip to almost to the second half of the sugya, which is the more gittin part of the sugya, to assess that a little bit. Those who come to the Tuesday night shiurim, so it happens to be we're still in the middle of Hefker, Beis, and Hefker. So some of the things that we're not going to talk about this minute, we're going to talk about tonight. So who wants to come join tonight? Yeah, a little bit more. We're going to focus a little bit more on the gittin dimension rather than on the more on the Sanhedrin, the Hefker, Beis, and Hefker in the dimension right now. So because once she pays for it, so Chazal are in effect mafker her money or mafker the get, whatever they're mafker, and now it all belongs to him. So once it all belongs to him, when he gives her the get, so he gave it his get.
Not her.
Well, they did do that. Well, by definition, they did that. Every time she pays for that, yeah. They did.
Right.
Because I was assuming that if she paid for it, that's right. That's what I was assuming, right. Even though he physically gave it to her, that's not enough of it to see. It has to be coming from him entirely. He has to be the one who sponsored the document as well. So, Lechora, whatever the nuance of the problem of Chizda was, whether it's Siva and Asina, the solution seems to be the same, and we can breathe a sigh of relief for okay. The man said, getting us still okay. So comes the Ramban, let's get back to the eighth of the Ramakamos, the Ramban on our sugya. So says the Ramban, if you just read our Gemara simply, we just follow the rules what Chazal say. We come to Beis Din, the Beis Din says, okay, you want to get, so Mrs. Boney, you write the check for the sofer. That's what happens. Beis Din does their hocus pocus after Beis Din Efker, and that's the get plays out. That's the simple pshat that comes around Ramban and says, "Vishamina mina." The second of the bold lines: "Shadio ve'akeses ve'akumas ve'anir akol mishal sofer." Now, when you go to a sofer, so the sofer is the one who owns the ink. He's the one who went to the store and bought ink last week. The pen belongs to him. The paper all belong to him. So nowhere in the Chof in Gittin does the Gemara raise the question, hey, wait a second, how is this get being done by the husband? Forget about the wife paying the bill. Doesn't the paper and the ink and the pen or whatever went into this bet? Isn't that the sofer's? So the Ramban says, no mention of that. Not a word, not a boo about the sofer. So what do we derive from here? That, of course, the sofer owned everything. Why would anyone think otherwise? You go to a sofer. So of course he owns all the equipment. Well, the kachet kosher, and he gets the luke. V'aimbo beis bichush, and nobody raised a red flag about it. So the Ramban says, why don't we raise a red flag? Says Ramban, shakol hu mochel abal, but also poshut shall set a seed l'sofer beget. So says the Ramban, of course the husband has to own all of the materials. If the husband doesn't own the paper, the ink, what kind of get? What kind of a nasa? What kind of a chasv nasa is that? So says the Ramban, aye, but no mention of that in the Gemara. So the answer is, of course there's no mention of it. You know why? Because the same way that she pays for the get, she doesn't really pay for the get, I mean, she pays for it, but then halachically we make it as if he pays for the get. When he, quote unquote, paid for that get now, part of the services of the sofer is to purchase all of the material. That's self-evident. So you have a lot of things going on that people aren't aware. Imagine she's coming and giving $100. She asks herself, what's your fee? It's $100 labor. So she gives him $100. So let me tell you, says about what's really going on. What's really going on is, first of all, she's not even giving $100. He's really giving them some, you know, quick hefker bezin hefker. And what about the ink and the paper? Oh, that's also included. The same way he got $100. $100 is parts and labor. I think we've opened it to mechanic once or twice, which I explained that phrase as parts of labor. So you go to the mechanic. So he's paying you. You have to pay him for X and Y. Remember, I was once at the mechanic where a guy walks in. He's like carrying like an auto part or something. Says the mechanic, I'm going to bring my own part. I want you to put it in for me. So the mechanic, I remember, turns to him and says, are you the same guy who goes to a restaurant and brings your own eggs? And he asked them to, he said, part of my fee is because I'm going to charge you. So he said, I'll be happy to take your part, but I'm telling you that I'm charge you three times the price of labor. I got to make a parnasa. So comes the woman and the man, they come to the cipher. And someone says, no problem, where you can hire me for $100. And part of that hiring is I'm going to give you the paper and the pen and et cetera, whatever else has to be owned by you. So comes Ramban and says, that's what's happening. Now, even though it's all true that she's the one paying the bill, Ramban continues, so bain klaf, bain deal, bain tichu lavalo, by the way, even though she's really paying for it, but not really, he's really paying for it because of hakinas, hefkebez, and hefke. So now the Ramban says, why am I making a point of this? This is coming to exclude, to disagree with the sheet of the nakdonim. I have to be honest, I do not know who these nakdonim are. I can tell you what I think they are, but nakdonim are, I'm not even sure what the word means. Like nikuda, like the people who are very careful, they're very like exact. He's making reference to a practice that existed that he was aware of. Shemakdin mamish hakol labal. That before a get would be given, it would actually go through the motions. The sofer would take all the paper and all the ink and literally hand it out like, pick it up, it's yours, and sure, it's yours to keep, at least to keep until you give back to me in 20 minutes for the next get. So the Ramban makes reference to this practice of the Nakdonim, who used to do this. So says Ramban, yes, man, you don't need to do it, it's not necessary. El Rabbanan Nakdonim, the Rabbanan did it all for you, even though the husband didn't pick anything up, the husband didn't give anything, it's all built into the system of the money. How did the Ramban know this to be true? The Gemara doesn't say a word. The Gemara is telling you what to do. The Gemara says, just come to Basin, let her pay the money. We'll do nobody does anymore from an omission. Omission of any mention of anything else, says the Ramban, is proof that I'm correct. The Ramban continues back to the bold print. Shmamino, Afagad Lomak Leklum, Afagad Lomash Klum Kosher. Share, says the Ramban, Share, Omer Adam Lishnaim. So Ramban says, we have Mishnayos that talk about a guy's getting onto a boat and he says, write a get for my wife. We don't get the impression from the Gemara that the sofer say, wait, hold the boat, don't take off yet. Like, we have to bring the paper and the pen in order for the ink, in order for the baal to be kainah, the makeup, so I can't have ball, like shaking a lulav, it's got to belong to him. We never heard of such a thing. The Mishnayos don't sound that way. So one could question and say, the Mishnayos don't mention it, but it's move on. Me'ilu. Of course, that's what's happening. So Ramban says, I'm going to bring a proof positive. An absolute Raya Brua. She ain't allowed tshuva, at least till the Rishonim have a tshuva against it. But Raya Brua, she ain't allowed tshuva, says the Ramban, that there never was, never is, never will be any requirement to do what these Nakdonim are doing. This practice, this newfangled chumrah of giving the paper and the ink to the Baal, that's not true. Brings your Raya from a Mishnah to the sixth Berach of Gittin. Says the Mishnah in Gittin, it says, a guy's in the bottom of a pit, he's 100 feet down, and he's yelling and screaming, if anybody hears me, please, please write a get for my wife. The Mishnah says, if you can hear the guy, as long as you know the guy is, you might as a whole discussion. You can hear him, do you see him? Can you tell? Is the echo? You're sure it's the right, you're sure he's actually speaking? Is that some guy, someone impersonating him? Once you figure out that that's the guy down there, so you can write the get on his behalf, like any other appointment of a sofer. So comes from about and says, now, if he's not done right, can somebody please explain to me what just happened? That but they tossed down the cloth and the paper first. That's what happened. That an audience. That I've done him said, you can't write again until the Baal is clean as I and all the equipment, all the materials. It's a joke. They're throwing it down, then he's throwing it back up again. When I saw this from Baz, I was thinking of, I remember a couple of years ago, they had that mine that collapsed. It was in Chile, and people were stuck down there for weeks on end. So before they were able to get everybody down, so they weren't able to make a big enough hole to get safely to get everybody down, but they were able to make a small incision. So they were able to start sending down food and supplies. They were sending stuff down, and then they were sending back up until they finally able to make the hole big enough to get everybody else up. So I was thinking about this Ramban. That's what the Ramban means. That's what the other Rishonim say. They're tossing, they're lowering down in the basket. The guy's dying, and the Bavor Reke Bavayim, the guy's dying. Please, write a gift, my wife. Wait, then I've done him. So wait, miracle. First, we have to make Akinos, a paper and a pen, and the Ramban's the drama of the guy on the board, that doesn't exactly seem to be what's going on there. So it says Ramban, it seems pretty clear that there never was, never is such a requirement. So why not? Whatever you think the problem that originally raised the disqualification of the wife writing it, why isn't that a problem if the sofer owns the material? So the answer is, you're right, it would be a problem if the sofer owns it, but he doesn't own it. Why doesn't he own it? Because part of the paying for the sofer was you paid him for labor and for the parts as well. So that when you walk out of that mechanic with your new set of brakes, those brakes belong to you. It's not a loan. They belong to you. It's part of the deal. You pay for parts of labor and truck. So you own the parts. You own the paper. You own the ink. You own whatever had to be owned is now owned by the husband. And now the get can be given to the wife. So that's the Ramban's raya. Sounds like a very, very strong raya. We probably wouldn't spend too much time defending a practice of not donning. You know, these people are, except for the fact that it was Shonim who actually said it. There's a Tosis Rid on Agamara that actually says that. That was, I don't know whether Ramban was, I'm not sure who was first or Ramban or Tosis Rid, but that practice that the Ramban is quoting and rejecting appears in Rishonim, that there really was such a practice of the Tosis Rid. I'll tell you a secret, that's the practice today also. But the Minigan today, and what they did him, is that when you give it, right before a person gives a get, so they actually take the sofer, has all the stuff in this little briefcase, little attaché case. He's got the paper, he's got the pen, he's got the ink and everything. He hands it over to the fellow, and the Baal makes a kiddush, he picks it up. It's written in the Sidra get. He picks it up, makes a kiddush on it, and then when everything's over, then the husband is marked it back to the sofer, because Nebuch, the sofer, he's got more ink and more days. He's got to go back to the next get, tomorrow's get. So we got to make sure that the Baal doesn't skip town with the attaché case. So that practice of that the Ramban thinks is really, really over the top, really unnecessary. It's against the Mishnayos. So it has actually become standard practice. But the question is, why? The Ramban's rayas are very, very, very ironclad rayas. The answer is no, they're not. Not necessarily. That there is a very, very... Good potential rejection of the Ramban's raya, especially the raya from the Mushlach Labor. The rejection is not having the guy with the basket lowering the sulfur, the stuff to the sulfur. That's not the rejection. There's a very real potential rejection that somebody who should have to offset the raya of the Ramban. And if all the rayas of the Ramban's could be rejected, then I don't know. Maybe really it does require the Baal to own it. Maybe that is also called b'chos v'nosan. So our next part of our sugya really revolves around is there such a requirement at all? The Gemara spoke about who pays the bill. The Gemara never mentioned a word about who owns the material. The Ramban said it was included in the bill. Another Rishonim say, no, it's not necessarily included in the bill, and it may necessitate an actual formal akedah. Hopefully, tomorrow we'll try to see the rise, pro and con, that next step in terms of the scheme.
We're in.